I'm Susanna Mars, and welcome to Adventures in Artlandia. I was afforded a wonderful adventure last night with my daughters and one of my daughter's best friends, and we got to stay at the Society Hotel last night. Thanks to Jake, who's here. I'll let him introduce himself.
Hello, I'm Jacob Halverson. I am the general manager of the Society Hotel, and we were very happy to have you, Susanna. I hope you guys had fun.
We had a blast, and I'm just learning so much about the hotel, and what I find so fascinating and fantastic is how you, as the general manager, are really connecting the history of the hotel with people in the community and an artist who has designed these beautiful cells. In each room has a distinctive cell. How do I describe it?
Yeah, like kind of a projection slide.
Exactly.
Almost. Yeah, like a projection slide. And each room was a curated image based on our staff stories or their quintessential Portland moment or history of the building of Chinatown, Old Town, and Portland itself. And it was really incredible. We could get all of these stories and then lay them out and choose images for each room to then do a install specific to that staff member, to that room, and to that guest experience.
And explain to everyone, because we talked about it earlier,
yeah,
how you came into contact. Well, first of all, how you came up with the idea, and then how you connected with the artist who's helped you bring it to life.
For sure. Yeah. So Jen Fuller of Jen Fuller Studios is our artist, and she's a really incredible, talented woman who usually works with glass and steel. And she's a sculptor by trade. How I got this idea is, if you've stayed at the Society Hotel, you understand that we are very stripped down. We believe that most of the interactions should happen in our great common spaces, so our rooms just provide the essentials. And I wanted to create an experience that I felt would be essential to a guest stay as well, you know, and maybe you didn't know that. And mm-hmm. art is the easiest and most enlightening way to create that connection. So I wanted to connect the history of Portland, the history of our space and our neighborhood to our staff stakeholding and to an experience that the guests can also enjoy. So I started vetting different artists and organizations here in Portland, like RAC and some different staff members and faculty from PNCA, just to even see if it was viable. Is this going to work? Is it something that guests are actually going to take interest in, or the art community will appreciate?
Well, I loved how you likened it to people drawing on the walls.
Yeah. So they come in, and there's this amazing kit that Jen had built out, and the project's name's A Colorful Life, and you can find it on social media under Personal Portland Projections as the hashtag, hopefully, as this kind of gets some traction behind it. But yeah, you come in, you create, you color on the slide and the images, you'll put it onto our bedside lamps that have been hacked and engineered and then projected onto the wall. So you're really capturing 15 moments of creativity in the most intimate setting that you can bring a guest in their room right before they go to sleep as they're reflecting on their day and their adventures in Portland. So I think it was a perfect time to create this flow state, you know, to get your guests engaged. And hopefully the result is a better rest, a better morning, because you've had this art experience right before you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel more connected into the space that you're sleeping in. And it's not so transactional, you know?
Yeah, and actually, as we were talking, I thought, that's so wonderful. Even the idea that the rooms are stripped down in the hope that you're having guests in your larger meeting spaces the lobby downstairs is so friendly. And when I was down there waiting for my daughters, there was a lovely man who gave me the New York Times.
Yeah.
You know, because Judy downstairs had said, Susanna's looking for New York Times. I see you're reading one. He said, oh, here you go.
Yeah. So Bruce.
Yeah,
Bruce. And he's an amazing regular. We have a lot of great businesses in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Old Town Chinatown is kind of almost seen as like a place of empty storefronts.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had this fundraiser last night, and all of the donations were spread out across this giant room. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of businesses in this neighborhood.
It's humming. Came in, there was all sorts of people. It was really, really fun.
It's really amazing to have those create kind of the base for our guest experience. So
mm-hmm.
Bruce is in every day, and we have people who are in every day and chatting up with the guests. What have you done? What haven't you done? What do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a great example of what you experience in the lobby is what most of our guests experience. There's usually, you know, creatives sitting on their laptops and editing and publishing and doing all these amazing copy and content. And I watch it from across the room. I can be behind the desk and just see that they don't know each other, but they've just spent 45 minutes talking and working on their projects together, right? Mm-hmm. So that is an amazing part of how what we do at the Society Hotel is we just try to connect, you know?
And the fact that the hotel was once a hotel for sailors, I was took the stairs, as I told you earlier, and you have a lovely all artifact collection landing and... It's really lovely to look at all these things.
Our ownership team worked really hard in the historic preservation to do a project. So the building was built in 1881, and it was built by the Seamen's Friendship Society. So that's kind of the riff on the name is where we picked Society Hotel. And it was a safe haven for sailors, you know, as others might be dealing with crimps or getting tricked or waking up on a boat. This was really always a place that was supposed to harbor individuals and keep them safe. Oh. So we love to keep that kind of history in the building as well. But to be LEED certified silver and on the National Registry of Historic Places is basically impossible to do in the same project. And it was a labor of love. So in our operations, we want to continue that.
I didn't realize. Explain to people what LEED certified silver is. That's really exciting.
For sure, yeah. So it is a federally regulated council, basically, that as you're doing a renovation or major construction, how you impact the environment and the sustainability that you use both in your operations and your construction is rated against other, you know, buildings that are also trying to go through the same process. So an example being we have these beautiful original arch windows in the room that we're sitting in, right? Our largest suite. And so historic will say you have to keep the windows. You can't change the panes. You can't change the trim. Close them up, keep them, right? Energy efficiency and LEED says they have to be double paned. You need to replace the windows, you need to do this, right? So you have historic and LEED competing masters. So then we put indo windows in, you know, so we've had to engineer the whole project with those two mindsets.
That's so admirable.
Yeah.
It's really wonderful.
Historic preservation and sustainability. And
so it's obviously you're able to marry them. But it's complicated.
It's complicated.
Like any good marriage.
Like any good marriage.
It's going to be complicated.
Right. And it, we pulled it off. So that was important with the filter project as well. And A Colorful Life was to capture those historic moments and to bring those to our guest experience because we spent a lot of attention to detail and we want that to be always involved in the story.
And then also the fact that you incorporate the staff, as you say, you know, you're really marrying, making a business that has people who are rooted to it in a really lovely way.
I could spend 45 minutes on your podcast, Susanna, telling you how great our staff is. And, I have goosebumps. Our listeners can't see it, you know, but they are so incredible and they take so much stake into what we're trying to do here. You know, we're not corporate. We're a small team. I'm 26. I get a lot of autonomy for my position in the general manager. And, you know, we just try to be real people first, be sincere, and be transparent.
How did you end up here? I mean, how did you come into the hotelier
business? I studied hospitality management. I wanted to be a high school biology teacher.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to go back to my alma mater, which is in the sticks, you know, and I'm going to teach biology and I'm going to be a coach, right? So, no, and then I met an amazing professor, and he was a hospitality professor, and I was like, wow, this could be it. You know, this could be something that I really enjoy. And
It's funny because I remember way back in the day, it's probably way before your time, I think there was a television show called Hotel or something like that. And it was that era's kind of, I guess, model of perfection in hotelier, is that
hoteliers?
You know, that it was super high glam, super, superficial, I'd say.
It was a lot of, and I think, sterile, but in a bad way. You know,
like,
you want to...
Anonymous.
Right, you expect you expect a clean hospitality experience, right? But in some experiences, it goes too far over that threshold in that you walk in and you're tiptoeing on the lobby because you might break the $1,000 vase, you right. know, and yeah.
Well, it's just interesting too to me how times are changing, and that being a LEED certified building, being historical, being connected to the community feels like the wave of the future.
It is.
Or I guess it's the wave of the present.
It is, yeah. And I think we kind of were changing economies, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a very transactional economy, probably before my time,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then with my generation's chasing this experience economy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily where you stay or what you drive. It's, you know, what city and where are you driving to, right? You're chasing this experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're almost shifting out of that. We have to be more of a social conscious economy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the next wave and where we're going with our brand in general.
Mm-hmm.
We're providing these art experiences, but soon you'll be able to choose where you want to donate in the same neighborhood that you're staying,
mm-hmm.
which is incredible. And a lot of different ideas in the pipeline to chase these different you know, scales of economy that's happening, because it is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the same, and our rooms don't have TVs, but we have high-speed internet.
Right.
I have really amazing staff, so we joke that if you want entertainment, come see us. Yeah, at the front desk, because we're entertaining enough
that's
for enough.
Fun.
Yeah,
I mean, and there's something to that, you know, that if you can go down and have a nice chat. And how long is the lobby open, 24 hours?
Someone is there 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The actual, since the cafe closes at 11.
P.M.
P.M.,
mm-hmm.
yep, opens up at 7. We'll lock the front doors to guests only
mm-hmm.
at 11.
Mm-hmm.
So then that's really amazing for the guests that are staying here, because they have a real private moment, too, to
mm-hmm.
themselves of everybody that's in the building
mm-hmm.
from 11 to whenever they want to go to sleep. But yeah, it's all about the people.
Mm-hmm.
The people make it. The guests make it. People, you know, the staff are here, and the wonderful Portlanders that, you know, grace us in the lobby to get coffee
mm-hmm.
when there's, and we know a lot of choices.
Yeah. Well, the girls and I were going to go out to breakfast, and then I went downstairs and I was waiting for them, and that's when I met Bruce and got my New York Times from that nice person.
Yeah.
And we decided, oh, we'll have breakfast here. There's plenty to have, and it's nice, and we enjoyed it very much. It was great.
And,
you know?
Yeah, and a part of that was, like, we knew going into this that we'd be on Airbnb as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think for hoteliers that
mm-hmm.
might have been asked that question, you know, how do you keep up, or what do you do to distinguish yourself, you know?
Uh-huh.
You accept the community and your vision from the beginning,
uh-huh.
right? And so we always knew that Airbnb was going to definitely be part of our channel and one of our models.
Oh, interesting. See, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So you can get a room here on Airbnb.
Correct.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. On Airbnb, on our website, on some online travel agents as well, but we kind of limit that. We're
mm-hmm.
a small property.
Mm-hmm.
We're four owners and myself as a GM.
Mm-hmm.
And
who are the four owners?
It's Jesse Burke and Jonathan Cohen. They're husband and wife team.
Mm-hmm.
She is the owner of Posey's Bakery in Kenton neighborhood, North Portland.
Ah.
Jonathan owns Imagine Energy, which is a solar company and HVAC just off of Interstate
mm-hmm.
there, so inner northeast.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe Gnauer from Groundswell Development, and then Matt Siegel from Building Blocks.
Oh.
So all friends
mm-hmm.
that came together to do this project.
Oh, nice.
With experience in construction and systems and general customer service, right? But to do a hospitality venture in Old Town, most people said that was a risk.
Oh, I'd say,
right.
Not to mention the renovation. I
right.
mean, that's huge.
It is. It was a big project, but I think it's working, and we've had a lot of support. And most of our guests that stay with us seek us out,
mm-hmm.
which is helpful.
Yes.
So you have people arrive at your door that are usually happy
right.
and excited to see you,
mm-hmm.
and that makes that guest relationship that much more amplified
mm-hmm.
when you can really start putting the cherry on the tops.
Mm-hmm.
But we also come in with a service ethos that understands that our guests are going to arrive at our door,
mm-hmm.
and we have no idea how their flight was,
mm.
how their travels were thus far,
mm-hmm.
if they're having something going on with their family.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get to control that.
Right.
But as soon as they cross that threshold, that's our moment,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, that's our moment where we can be neutral
mm-hmm.
and be there for you in whatever capacity that is,
mm-hmm.
and then push positive from there.
Right.
So that's what we're constantly having conversations of, is like, we can control what's in our building.
Mm-hmm.
And even for employment, right?
Right?
Like, I don't expect my staff to come in every day at 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But if the world has taken 25% from you
mm-hmm.
before you've come into work, that's all right. I'll use that 75%, you know, promise that to me.
Right.
And we'll push positive the rest of it. And we'll kind of change that tide.
I was just talking to my daughter's friend about that and about the workplace nowadays and old outmoded views of how employees need to be arriving and not some companies not taking into account the human factor.
Right.
So it sounds as though that's something you really think about.
It is, yeah. And just, and if we all can kind of have that same mindset, then, you know, that's how
there's
you
some
spread the love there.
There's
some
forgiveness and compassion,
yeah, compassion.
Accepting
exactly.
Where people are.
Exactly. And because we build such a culture on the back end,
mm-hmm,
with our employees of that way,
mm-hmm,
it's a mindset that we easily carry into the guest experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a 12 o'clock checkout, that's fine.
Right.
Let us know. You
it's
know,
really, it's, really cool.
It's easy. And now we get to... To say, oh, did you see my image?
Mm-hmm.
What room are you in? Oh, you were in 207? Oh, that's Kat's room. You know,
oh,
like, next
neat.
Time you stay with us in 202, because that's my room, right? And that's my story, and that's my image.
Is 202 you really your room?
I'm 203.
You're 203.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting, right? Because each staff member has a different room.
Yeah.
So do they compare and contrast? Like,
they
the
do.
Coloring,
yeah,
and
it's intentional. So 203 was because that was my office.
Oh.
During when we were doing the final FF&Es and the build-out and... Like, 203 wasn't done, but that was kind of where I could be the most out of the way.
Uh-huh.
So that was why I chose my room.
Oh, that's neat.
As 203.
Nice.
Because that's where I sat the first couple months trying to plan it.
That's...
But yeah, each room is kind of catered to what lens it is. So if there's a room referencing the street, you're probably going to be on the street side,
nice.
Right? We have a Darcel slide, so
you
overlook Darcel.
Oh,
and
that's great.
Yeah,
I just interviewed Kevin Cook last week.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And Poison.
Poison.
Yeah.
He's amazeballs. And Darcel's amazing. What a
really good,
historic...
really good neighborhood
oh, great.
Friends here.
Good people.
And that's what I want. I want them to know that there's so much more going on at the Society Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And we're 2 years old now, so maybe some of that shine has, you know, the new kids, the honeymoon phase,
right.
or the travelers wanting to get the next property is kind of worn off, but I find great comfort in that we know who we are
right.
as a brand, and we know who we are as a staff,
mm-hmm.
and what we can offer and be genuine and transparent in that offering.
Mm-hmm.
Because we set our rates one time.
Mm-hmm.
No, well, other hotels are in the summer $500, and
right.
then in December they have the same exact rates as us.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it's kind of fun to be able to put and say, I put it on the table from the beginning.
Right.
We are who we are. Our
mm-hmm.
prices are what we are. And the value comes from what you're doing in the room.
Oh.
You know, whether it's an art project or whether you're in the lobby,
mm-hmm.
that's where the real proposition is. Is
right.
when the people can come and interact with our guests.
And enjoy this neighborhood. And
there's going. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. And, you know, I hope we just have to get more people to cross Broadway and
right.
the park blocks.
Right.
You know, we're just so close. And it's funny, in the Northwest, that's kind of really
uh-huh.
the dividing line, right.
right,
is park blocks and WeWork.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I could put a giant spotlight that matched our lamps and the filter project from the roof, I would.
That would be cool. Like, kind of like the bat call.
The bat call.
Right.
And I talked to, we should circle back on why this all,
yes.
Why this all came into fruition. Not only to provide a great guest experience
right.
and to connect our amazing staff,
uh-huh.
but also the Portland Winter Lights Festival.
Right.
February 1st through February 4th, 2018 are the dates. And it is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It is a reason to get out of the rain and the dark
mm-hmm.
and leave your bedroom, take a coffee to go, and go to OMSI. And what they're doing is...
East Side Esplanade. Beautiful.
Yeah, and OMSI, and what they do, they just light it up. Different
mm-hmm.
sculptures, installations, soundscapes, mapping.
Mm-hmm.
And I met with Chris Herring because I said, who's the light person in the city?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, Chris Herring, he's the director of the Portland Winter Lights Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I met with Chris, he's like, you need to speak with Jen. He's like, Jen will make this happen for you because she was doing an amazing project for the city dump
mm-hmm.
and going through and finding old pictures and
Ugh.
Transforming them into
amazing
bedside or nightlights.
Yeah, and that's Jen Fuller.
Jen Fuller,
right?
Yeah.
And then explain also, because she's going to be joining us in a couple minutes, how she went through every room personally and designed the projector, the lamp that's doing the projection of these images.
So much engineering went into this project, and when Jen gets here, she can speak to more of the technical side, but mm-hmm. I'll give the layman's terms. Mm-hmm. We have bedside lamps that are from a generic Swiss company that we all know and love, right? Oh. And
who shall not be named?
Who shall not be named? And to make this low tech, mm-hmm. right? Think projector in your classroom. Mm-hmm. And so we...
Overhead
projectors. Mm-hmm. We turned our bedside lamps into overhead projectors,
yeah,
basically.
They're really cool.
And she took all these old Dell power adapters for old computers, mm-hmm. soldered in to the lamps itself because you have to control the power. Mm-hmm. She built a single point LED light bulb.
For every room.
Super neat. Had to change the adapter. I mean, she'll tell you, like, MR16 pins, throwing out technical things that I could never do to make this seamless kit mm-hmm. where you just turn it on and you have a single point LED old school overhead projector hacked into a bedside lamp.
Nice.
It's kind of the brass.
Pretty cool.
The brass roots of it all, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she sourced, I mean, a lot of people, a lot of minds came together to mm-hmm. even make that work. We did the project for 4 months not knowing if the light would turn on.
It's so amazing, too, because it's so simple, but it's deceptive in what you really had to do to make it work.
Right, yeah. Super deceptive. And she also made these really cute balsa wood kits that come in, so... When you come book, please book with us online at Colorful Life is the code mm-hmm. that you can use. Mm-hmm. And you'll come in, you'll see a blank slide with a curated image based on the guest story and this cute little balsa wood box that says A Colorful Life.
It's really lovely.
Personal Portland projections.
And with all the cool colors.
And all the colors of the mm-hmm. rainbow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you just put it on and you color mm-hmm. and you draw on your walls. Mm-hmm. We're giving you permission without actually drawing on our walls.
Yes, please don't draw on the walls.
to have that experience, to really capture that moment before you go to sleep. And in this room that we're sitting in, it's really incredible. So mm-hmm. the St. John's Bridge mm-hmm. slide feels like Narnia. Mm. When it lights up in the room, it encompasses this whole baby room that we have because uh-huh. they're the original layout from uh-huh. when it was lodging for sailors.
Oh, I think Jen has arrived. I'm going to stop for a second, then I'll start us back up.
Okay,
so just walked in is Jen Fuller, the artist who did these amazing slides. Thank you for coming.
Hello.
Yeah. Tell us about your relationship with Jake and how this all came. You know, your work is beautiful, first of all.
Thanks.
Yeah, my girls are in our room just coloring away.
I'm so excited to hear you brought your daughters
yeah,
to this.
Yeah, it was really...
so great. My parents were staying here last night.
That's
did
what
you hear
Jake
about
told
that?
Me, yeah.
It's a family affair
That's
today.
Really
it
good.
It is a family affair.
Yeah. It's really inviting, I think, for everybody to participate. But, Jacob approached me through the Portland Winter Light Festival mm-hmm. for this light-based experience. And he was talking about this experience, an Instagram post that a guest had left with the shadow puppets. And I'm not sure if he's told you about all of this. But mm-hmm. He asked if it was possible to do some sort of a projection. And so I thought about it, and I had done a series of historical photo lights for the landfill and for the metro government. And
which I just thought was an amazing project.
It was super heart-rending, first of all.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, it was a remarkable experience to be able to take history and convert it. You know, anytime you bring light to something, it brings it alive, right? We're drawn to the light like a moth to the flame. Mm-hmm. So it makes people really want to interact. But I thought it would be a neat idea to bring the history of the hotel alive with the idea of the projection. So I combined mm-hmm. the two. And then Jacob had asked for... I asked what the intention of the project was, and he wanted to make the staff excited. And I thought that was an amazing premise. So to interview the staff, to get their favorite interpretations of history, was just such a cool sit-down experience. It was intimate for me. And then to bring it to the guests, so they have that intimacy now between, you know, interacting with myself, the staff with their stories, and now the intimacy of a hotel room where they get to create it into something of their own as well.
You're a real bridge. I mean, you give people the opportunity to have fun and be artistic and have an experience, and it's kind of wonderful, too. I think about all the people that you have touched.
Ah, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's how I think, it's my approach to art making in general, is how do we create an experience, exactly that, a bridge between the client being the Society Hotel for me and my experience as an artist in Portland, mm-hmm. and then what we want the end end result or the emotion that we want to leave the guest with. Mm-hmm. And I start filling in the gaps between those. And if with a deadline, it makes it easy to create something. So it's been really fun this week. We've started seeing what people are leaving. And you don't know when you're building something and you're working really hard to execute, especially all the technical issues that were involved.
We were just talking about that before
I did
arrived.
Not do that part justice. Do you want to do 30 seconds on what it, I feel like 40. I should just read the text that you had sent
Please.
To me. Because, Please. And for one, Jen and I, it's been really fantastic to work with her. And I think, I hope when people hear this podcast that they know that it comes from a place of, you know, real sincerity, that it should be easy to work with someone. The project wasn't easy by any
right.
means, but it should be easy to do business and to create. And if it's not, then you've got the wrong partnership. You've got the wrong collaboration, you
right.
know? And
yeah, that's
so
a good...
super. Let me read this little tech piece that Jen had sent.
There was so much involved. It looks so simple.
We were just saying that. It's deceptive. Mm-hmm. It's just such an easy, fun thing. And then when Jake was starting to tell me what you had to do for each room, I thought, oh my, this is very complicated.
Very it was complicated. Very complicated.
But beautiful.
Yeah, it was so amazing. It was like, yeah. Yes.
So this is it. One successful project equals 40 extension cords hacked into 40 Dell power supplies, 40 Edison base converters, 80 LED bulbs, 120 screws, 160 laser cut box parts, which is now increased, 160 acrylic pieces, 240 heat bends, 20 staff interviews, 1,500 slides, 5 shots of bourbons, 3 meltdowns, and I don't know how many hours.
Oh, that's awesome.
And an incredible yeah. team of people. Yeah. I think we as artists, even when we're collaborating, it looks like we do these things alone. And every step of the way in the electrical engineering aspect of these lights, there was somebody I had to call in a fit of panic trying to figure out how to make these things actually functional. It's incredibly deceptive and incredibly difficult to retrofit anything.
Right.
And to bring the wiring into this. So there was so many adapters all the way through.
This is probably, you know, not a PC slide. You know, but our guests are going to do what they want to do with the slides, which is kind of the fun
awesome.
Part of it. Right?
We just saw a slide that has a body part that is delightful.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Yeah, the guests, is that we never censor.
You
so
know,
we're
like
censoring
it.
For the podcast, but it has been a really exciting collaboration both with the hotel and just to see what the guests make. I can't wait. And it's 3.5 months long, essentially.
Uh-huh.
So that many slides is going to be quite visually remarkable to
yes.
see.
Well, and that's a good place for us to stop, sadly. But I'm thinking maybe in February when the end of the project takes
yeah.
place, maybe we'll come back and talk to you guys
yeah.
about what it was like to see all those and take some pictures of the hotel that is adorned with all the cells, which
yeah,
would be
would
really
love
cool.
That. Yeah, anybody can come participate if they stay at the hotel. And
mm-hmm.
this is all leading up to the Portland Winter Lights Festival, which is going to be incredible.
This yeah. year has got a great lineup.
Awesome.
The whole city is starting to take part of the,
it's
you know,
just
in
beautiful.
This. Yeah, they've done a really excellent job of bridging the gap between the creative minds that hide in garages and create cool,
nice.
Weird things, and you know, getting it out to the public and
luring
just,
them out.
Yeah, and illuminating a city in the middle of February that really needs something vibrant. So,
yeah, it certainly does.
Well, thank you, Susanna, and we would
thank
love to have you for part two.
We
yes.
just, I enjoyed it so much. Thanks for your generosity in the project and in having us here last night, and just really enjoyed meeting you both.
Oh, thank
Pleasure.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
you.
If I could fly to